Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Yes, he's in the intensive care ward at Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle.
Well, to play the video clip, we are hot tonight, baby.
Wowzer. That's dandy. We're looking good already. Yeah, hey, welcome, folks. It is our draft review show for our Palazzo Prospects Power Hour. Sometimes a little more than that. Okay, usually a little more than that.
Yeah, rarely under.
Yeah. Ever. I'm your guy, Gentle Ben, and with me is my man Rocky Mountain Robbie.
And howdy, partners. Celebrating a holiday this week.
I was just gonna say
celebrating a holiday.
I'm trying to remember. I think you cursed me out in the mock draft when I sniped Holiday from you one pick ahead of the Rockies.
Yes, I did make a point of saying that I believe he's going to end up there. He did. Dreams do come true. You can kind of thank the Angels, I guess, but not really. I mean, we'll get into it. But regardless, happy that one of these types of things happened. This could be their future third baseman, but we will discuss as we go.
We'll get into that as we hit it. Yep. So, Robbie, we're on All-Star break, which did you watch any of the Home Run Derby last night?
Not a second of it. I don't enjoy that part. Not that I don't like watching people during batting practice or things like that. Like, I'll go watch minor league batting practice, but I'm not interested in that particular aspect of it anymore. That's all. Nothing personal.
I will say... everyone has these ideas of what can make the Home Run Derby better. Go find videos of the old Home Run Derby show when, like, Hank Aaron and Ernie Banks and Willie Mays and guys like that were on that show. And it was just basically you got 9 innings and you got 3 outs. And every inning, you got 3 outs. And so the total who had the most home runs after 9 innings won. Oh, that was fun, you know, but it was always a 1-on-1. And so then you'd have in between innings, you know, the guy who hosted the thing would be interviewing Hank Aaron while Eddie Matthews batted or things like that. So
that's very cool.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite old time baseball things to go find. And they taped it at Wrigley Field. No, not that Wrigley Field. The Wrigley Field in Los Angeles, California, that was designed to look like the Wrigley Field in Chicago. And actually owned by the same guy initially, but by that point was no longer owned by the same person. But yeah, it was... And so it had major league dimensions and the whole nine. I mean, it was just... But it was a fun show to watch. I mean, guy getting out of there with 20 dingers was a big, big deal. So
I've seen NPB stuff where they make them hit to bases and do different. I just showcasing different skills, which I'm all for that stuff. But realistically, the whole weekend is not for me. Yeehaw, their derpy entertainment. Jeepers. The weekend isn't for me, not in the sense that I'm a curmudgeon, far from it. It's just my kid would rather go play catch, and I will go do that with him during that time. So that's our love of baseball in that sense. We'll watch and listen to baseball. I've been a big radio baseball guy. I like the listening to the guys, love the storytelling, blah, blah, blah. And that's more my preference. I'm trying to get that into his brain to be the same kind of guy, so we can do something outside on a Sunday while the game is on or a game is on, and just play catch. And he's like, who's this player? Who's that player? So, goodness. As I live and breathe, Adarsh has rejoined the podcast. Holy smokes. Where's my horse? I don't know. Adarsh, where are you tonight?
This week also means that there is not a lot of normal stuff going on. We don't have, we're going to have a very light news section. So this last week, while we were away, we only had three debuts to even notice. Tristan English debuted with the Diamondbacks. Bryce Matthews came up with the Astros. Cam Schlittler made his debut. We did talk about him last week, but he did finally make that debut. Wasn't bad. 7 strikeouts over 5 or 5 and a third innings. Got tagged for a couple of home runs, but not a terrible one. Promotions, there are some interesting ones here. So Leo Balcazar, I don't know if you remember, couple of years back, he was really a big deal coming out of Complex Ball. He's finally made it up to Double A with Cincinnati. Blake Burkhalter is a guy who I think if the Braves continue to have the pitching issues they do, we could see him in the majors. He got promoted up to AAA. Arun Escobar, who started off this season just stealing every base that was out there, and he is up to high A now with Philly. South Dakota's own Cale Fountain, a San Diego draft pick who very likely is going to be someone that moves in July. And he got promoted up to full season ball now. Jose Ramos with the Dodgers. You remember Jose Ramos?
Yes.
A couple years back, everyone
still roster him in one league.
And he has finally made it up to AAA. I think this was his third year in AA, which... And what's crazy is he's still only like 23 and he's now up to AAA, but he's been in AA for like 3 years because he rocketed up to AA. And we'll get into, we won't. For those of you who watch the Futures game, Jose Dupala won the MVP, hit a big home run during that off of Noah Schultz, which was really impressive. Lefty hitter hitting one off of a lefty side armor like that. But one of the reasons I struggle to buy into DePaula is Jose Ramos. And I saw a lot of the same skill set in DePaula coming into the year as I did in Ramos. And now there are people who are legit talking DePaula as a top 10 prospect. And I worry that that's reactionary, similar to the way that Jose Ramos had one big year and was all of a sudden a top 50 guy. So
that's a bold one there.
Robbie Snelling last year made one like spot start at the very end of the year in AAA. Now he's actually being promoted up to the AAA rotation. And so the kind of the year of redemption for Robbie Snelling continues. And we actually have trades, like legit trades. The White Sox apparently want everyone's roster fodder. So Will Robertson, who we talked about earlier, 28-year-old, I think, that made his debut with Toronto. Yeah,
27, 28-year-old. I remember Chad had asked a question about it, and I said, I don't see it happening because it doesn't make sense for Toronto. And then, of course, they promptly brought him up. only yep. to, you know, he obviously didn't take off.
He's yeah. he's been traded.
He needed to be lightning in a bottle.
To the White Sox, and White Sox also got Blake Sable, who's been kind of bounced around between AAA and the majors for the last few years as a backup catcher, which suddenly made Corey Lee a hot trade item, which I will not ever understand, but apparently that's a thing now because the White Sox have two legit catchers and they really don't need a third, so Blake Sable coming in apparently now creates an excess for them. But they just paid cash for both of those guys. And so that's what the White Sox did. However, Brian Baker with Baltimore, at one point I really thought he might be next in line if Felix Bautista was to falter as the closer or be traded. Had a really good year so far this year. And he was the guy who went to Tampa, and Tampa sent Baltimore their collective bargaining agreement draft pick, which gave Baltimore four picks in the top 40 and really screwed up Art. No, it didn't screw up a damn thing because Baltimore did that on their own.
Well, Slater DeBrun, I believe, is the guy that came in. I think it was Slater DeBrun is the guy they got, an outfielder, which, high school. So, you know,
I will say, honestly, if you got Slater DeBrun for Brian Baker at the deadline, talent wise, that's about what I'd expect out of a reliever who's kind of in the midst of a breakout season, has never really done a lot before. That's a pretty decent return. So I think this ended up being about a deal that you would probably make if you were the Rays, if it was player for player. But
well, Baker's had a weird up and down too, Ben, as like, just because of my 30 team league presence, I scrape the bottom of the relief pitcher barrel many times, including drafting these types of guys. And Baker was a Blue Jay, an Oriole, a Blue Jay, an Oriole, I think, or something like that. I feel like he flipped, or maybe it was Oriole, Blue Jay, Oriole, something like that. Either way,
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. And now, and again, he's just going to Tampa. It's all AL East. But he had a little bit of success. I think his rookie year was okay. And then I can't remember if it was like as soon as he was kind of moving into that hold scenario, he couldn't do it anymore. Whatever happened, like something got to him. So the fact that he had that value makes sense because, like you said, he was kind of like a potential dude, could have been. Whoa. And now with Tampa, this is that great little coach him up scenario where maybe he could be somebody, which would be fun, other than it's Tampa Bay. So it's going to be crowded.
You know. So do you know who drafted him originally?
I thought it was Blue Jays, but
no, Colorado Rockies.
Oh my God, he was a Rocky. I knew I liked him. So.
And then went to Toronto, and then to Baltimore. Oh, so but yeah,
what trade would he have? Did, actually, probably wouldn't.
I
have
was
that
just one. Looking at to complete an earlier deal made
like Octavio Dotel. How far back are we going?
Sanquan
Wall
and Chad Spangberger went to the Blue Jays for Sanquan Oh, and Brian Baker joined them.
Really? Okay. Okay.
So Sanquan Oh.
Wouldn't that have been Randall Grichuk?
No. Chad Spangberger, Forrest Wall, Brian Baker.
I thought Wall was in the Grichuk trade, but that it doesn't matter.
I don't ever remember. Sanquan Oh, God, he had two seasons with 20 saves. Holy crap. I don't remember that. The Final Boss, right? Wasn't that his nickname or something like
that? Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So that does make sense. Joe's checking in here as an O's fan saying many nights he was good, but the ERA. So a few bad nights. And that happens for all the RPs, is you can screw up your entire month in two-thirds of an inning by not having it happen. But you know who didn't screw up? Got demoted, held his chin up high, and went down to AAA and pitched very well. As Mick Abel, after the Phillies brought him down to put Tyon Walker back in. And I am so glad, because we don't need players going down and not doing well. We saw it with Kobe Mayo last year. Not that Abel is supposed to be the same heightened prospect, but I really like him. And to know that he's able
at one point.
Yeah, that's true. He was at one point and then took a step back. I'm just happy to see it, because we do need players like him, who people have kind of pass to the side to be able to still make it in the world. So maybe we'll all hold our prospects a little more near and dear to us instead of just trading the hot ticket here. Very much like you don't want to get rid of, I don't know, some food you're done with. Maybe you ordered a big portion of them, but you're not totally done with it. Of course, folks, I'm talking about nachos and Nacho Alvarez of Ben's Atlanta Braves. He's back. He immediately, like, what was it, like three at bats in AAA or three games in AAA, and then Austin Riley goes down. You're now our third baseman up here.
Yeah. and not just that, but you're our third baseman, and he ended up in like three different major situations that first game back, ended up scoring the winning run in his first game back, or into the back to the majors. But I will say, definitely looks a hell of a lot more comfortable at third base than he ever did when he came up for Ozzy last year at second. He had never played second base at any point of his career. He'd always been a left side infielder. And so, yeah, that it was very obvious this weekend. He made some really nice plays in Busch Stadium going against the netting and running, you know, a couple of catches over his shoulder sort of thing. And it's just impressive to watch him. He definitely is used to that side of the ball or that side of the infield for sure.
So we'll see if he can really heat up at the dish or if he's going to be nachos served cold or nachos.
Matt, there were, I think they had a little too much fun. They had the road crew with the Braves in St. Louis, and they definitely had way too much fun with that name. So anyway, we are right. Going, I'm not going to sing it. The Jesus Take the Wheel, no. Robbie. Who are we targeting this week with a short week and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so this is going to be a long play here because he's, I think on Fantrax, he was 42% rostered when I just checked tonight, but he was under 20 when I was trying to narrow down my list. So I'm sticking with it. That's Miami's Jansen Junk. Which is what he throws and what he'll be worth in 1 month. But for the next three starts, he's going to be Jansen Gem. Now, I don't know where he's going to be within Miami's five-man rotation, so I don't know if he's going to pair up this weekend or not, or if we'll be waiting and discussing him next week. But he has been extra serviceable under the very low-rostered, very low-valued players, and Miami's going to do all they can to max out. I don't think he is in fear or in contention of being bumped out of a roster spot at the moment. So no. I think this is a safe enough play. If you are in, say, 14-man and smaller leagues, he's out there. He's on your wire, and he certainly is worth a look. You'll have to do the work that I can't tonight because I'm not sure when he's going to be pitching or, sorry, who it's going to be against, whether he pairs up well against the lineup. So just double check, but I would certainly say we can lock him in for his next three starts, which we'll update in a week exactly where that's sitting in addition to who I pick next week. So, Ben, we can quickly move on from that into the main topica for tonight, which are the reactions we have to the MLB draft, which concluded yesterday. 20 rounds. Was it 17 rounds in one day?
17 rounds on the second day. Yeah, they did the first three rounds. Although per pick, the first three rounds is kind of convoluted because you have the compensation picks,
yes,
the competitive balance picks, and the prospect promotion incentive picks, all take place in those first three rounds. And so it's not just 90 picks. But in fact, I could probably look it up real fast here, but I bet it's by the time you got done, it was 105 picks in the first day.
There we go.
With the Angels making impressive. The last one. And, you know, we're all excited to hear about that, but not really. I think we're more excited to talk about the first one.
I thought you were going to say the 19 Canadians that were drafted because that's right,
that's
baby.
That's right.
19 of us. Yes, including the number two pick, but we will circle back to those 19, or I will circle back to those 19 as we go. So, Ben, we'll rhyme off the top 50. Is that what we agreed to do? And then we'll just alternate five in bunches of five. Do you want to go first? Do you want the honors of the top five?
There we go. I guess I will gladly take that honor. The Nationals made all of the talking heads look stupid and took Eli Willits, who, by the way, was definitely on the board as someone that they could take. So this was not that surprising. But Eli Willits went number one to the Washington Nationals, high school shortstop out of Oklahoma. The Angels then made the big surprise of taking Tyler Bremner from UC Santa Barbara, right-handed pitcher, who most folks had about between 15 and 20 on their draft board. But it is the Angels. Kate Anderson went third to the Mariners, left-hander from LSU. And then the Rockies got their man Ethan Holliday. And the Cardinals apparently think they're going to go to the playoffs this year because they drafted a guy who I think is going to be a reliever, Liam Doyle out of Tennessee. And so that's your first five. Is we've got two left-handed college pitchers, a right-handed college pitcher, and two high school shortstops.
Yeah, and for the record, which we will not do this for the night, but I'm just quickly doing it for us now. Ben, you, in our mock draft, you had Willits ninth to the Reds, and that's not because that's where you ranked him. That's because we impromptu draft in front of each other, and the boards and the snaking happens immediately. Yeah. And then you also drafted Bremner 17th with the Cubs, which at that time I remember thinking, yeah, like that's a good
Cubs type pick. Yeah.
And you had also drafted Holliday third to the Mariners, to which I said that's impossible because he's going to the Rockies. And I was upset at that point, and I'm still upset now for the mock draft. But IRL.
In all seriousness, if you had Kane Anderson on the board in that draft, I probably would have taken him with the Mariners as well and left Holliday. So,
right.
You know, that's.
And we'll find out how it works with Bremner. But we know the idea, and I credit the Angels for not jumping ship on the idea of we think, and I'm assuming it's going to be like at or just under slot value, which is $10.25 million. Amazing. Over half their draft budget on the one pick. But get him, treat him like a ready-to-go pro and see what he can do. Or I should say like a Japanese import. Or a player, or you know, a player of that ilk, right? That seems to be their first round guys, right? Yeah. Like they're like, how close are you? Let's find out. Straight to Double A. So anyway, sixth here on the board were the Pirates, and we were presuming they were going to be going youth. They did, but they went with prep arm Seth Hernandez. Then Avi Arquette, who I had originally both feared but also thought wouldn't be a bad thing if he went to Colorado. He ended up in Miami. Am I in the right order here? Yes, I am. Jeez, yeah. Good for me. JoJo Parker went, this is a prep shortstop, went to the Blue Jays, which honestly terrifies me. And I mean, just look at their track record of high school drafted players currently on the roster. I believe it is one Davis Schneider, and it took 7 years. ninth, Steely Hall, another prep shortstop with Cincinnati. And this is a pretty big run of dudes here, which we did know was coming. But the White Sox then at 10 took Billy Carlson from Corona High School in California.
So in your first 10 picks in this year's draft, you had six shortstops taken. The record, by the way, for the first 30 picks was only 10 coming into the night. Let's just say they obliterate that record. We'll do a little preview on that. And I will say, I think the White Sox made the dumbest pick of the entire group. for an organization that struggles to develop hitting, but actually seems to do quite well with natural hitters and teaching them defensive skills, they take arguably the best defensive shortstop in the entire high school class who has lots of work to do on his hitting.
and they're at a point in which, but they're also been at a point in which their pitchers that they have in the upper part of their system should all be on the roster within the next 2 years, as they have already started to debut, mind you, in the bullpen for the one in particular. But like they've got a rotation that could potentially be MLB competitive within the next 3 years, and you're picking amongst a bunch of other potential players, you're picking a guy who should not sniff MLB within the next 3 years.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so cool.
Just kind of
cool. It's, cool.
This is why the White Sox are the White Sox. So, all right. So we go to the next five. We got the A's, who I really like this pick. They picked Jamie Arnold, a lefty out of Florida State. Then the Rangers went with Gavin Fiend, a shortstop from California, high school shortstop from California. Gavin Keelan from Tennessee was announced as a shortstop by the Giants. I think he might be a second baseman in the end. But then Tampa really upset me, well, for the moment, because they picked a guy that from Georgia who had been kind of mocked to the Braves over and over again, a high school shortstop from Georgia, Daniel Pierce. And then to close out this group, Boston, who ends up making a really nice pitching draft here. But they started off with Kyson Witherspoon from Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's, I mean, we've talked about it before as far as like players that fall to places, and we do have a question and answer round where I think we might hear that name come up again. So the Twins then hit the board at 16, and we ended up with a couple back-to-back Wake Forest players here, position players. We've got Merrick Houston going to the Twins, and at 17, Ethan Conrad going to the Cubs, and at some point, the Cubs are going to trade him. We'll just see who he ends up getting traded to and then how quickly he ends up in MLB next year, very much like last year's Cam Smith.
if the patterns continue, right? Yeah, there's a lot of comparisons there as far as where they are right now, because Cam Smith was kind of coming off of a couple years where he wasn't the highlight guy in the offense, but a lot of folks said this is the best between he and James Tibbs. And Conrad is coming out now with some injury stuff this year, or he might have been a top 10 type of guy. And so, yeah.
Yeah. 18, the Diamondbacks were on the board last year. They had three high picks this year. Kaysen Cunningham, a high school shortstop, is their guy. At 19, the Orioles finally locked in a franchise catcher in Ike Irish. I already said that joke to Mike VA on X, so I'm just repeating myself. But I know we had also talked about the fact he played outfield this year and is just was a very good college hitter, and ideally will transition over into a very good pro hitter, and he could be up sooner than later. Not that the O's need more guys pushing players rather than just letting guys develop, but hey, that's not for tonight. Tonight is about fun and games, right? So we had Houston, Conrad, Cunningham, Irish.
Someone who could get pushed.
Yeah. The 20th pick of Milwaukee, which for both of us, Ben, we had a lot of names in the mock draft that we thought would have been really fun. And then Milwaukee said, you know who else would be fun? Andrew Fisher of Tennessee, the third baseman here. This one, I think, is this will just be good. I'm also curious to see in fantasy where the Brewers have earned cred amongst fantasy people, how Fisher ends up getting drafted, because he's not going to be the 20th ADP guy FYPDs, which are your first year player drafts for fantasy baseball. He's going to be bumped up.
This isn't a Brock Wilkin. I mean, this isn't a guy who's going to come into the minor leagues and then suddenly strike out, you know, half the time. He's a lot
he does
more
have power. Hitter.
Yeah, there's some legit power, but a lot better contact hitter than Wilkin was. And so, I mean, think about where Wilkin went in a pretty decent draft class, and Fisher, in my opinion, is a much better hitter. So could be a very interesting thing. Granted, I think Fisher is also first base only, but that's a whole nother deal. So,
well, Milwaukee doesn't have a guy there, so.
No, no. The Astros were then 21st on the board. They took Xavier Nyans, called him a shortstop. I don't know that he'll ever play shortstop as a professional, but from Washington State. And then my Braves figured out that hitting is an okay thing to draft, too. drafted Tate Sathasine out of Nevada, a high school shortstop. Sean Gamble was was then the next pick by the Royals. He was actually announced as an outfielder. He had played shortstop this year, but they announced him as an outfielder, so they took away that fun. Then the Tigers kind of made the surprise pick, maybe in the first round.
I agree.
Jordan Yost out of Florida, high school shortstop, but not a guy that was ranked anywhere near the first round by most people. And the Padres. They picked Cruz Schoolcraft, who is a big-time, high-end prospect, left-handed pitcher, 6'8" lefty, so you know that Robbie likes him.
I love this pick. After what they did last year with Cash Mayfield, they also like good names, so double credit. Credit on name, and we had put in you in particular, Ben, and I remember being upset about this. You had put Schoolcraft in with the Royals at 23 in our mock, and I wanted him to go to the Tigers because I thought that would have been a good little mix up for the Tigers to do because they've been so successful with college pitching. But yeah, it is interesting. The Yost one for me, I mean, obviously credit to the Tigers for what they've done recently with player development. I think Yost is going to have some eyes on him if he gets assigned anywhere that counts stats that we can all see. Otherwise, we'll be relying on some scouting reports. And if that happens, I think he's going to slip in first-year player draft. And I think he could end up being one of those bonus babies in a top, like maybe picked north of 35 in your first year. So depending on your league size, he could be a third rounder if you're in a 15-teamer. And I think there's a lot of value that could be had there.
This reminds me so much of Kevin McGonigal on draft day. That, you know, really high contact skills, not a lot of anything else that had been verified or proven or whatever you want to say. And McGonigal came out and said, hey, I can wrap doubles everywhere on top of just hitting singles. And I can actually play a passable shortstop, which a lot of folks didn't think was possible. And here he is now up in Double A still playing shortstop. So that's, you know, he's going to have to work to do that path, but that path has been laid out for him within the same organization. So, all right. So now you're up with the next five. Yep.
Phillies here at 26 went with Gage Wood, a right-hander out of Arkansas. And then we had an outfielder going, this was disappointing, a college outfielder going to Cleveland at 27.
Yeah.
Jace Laviolette. Now, I'm not upset with Jace Laviolette as a player. I'm upset that Cleveland, and they did it later, but that Cleveland didn't just take high school pitchers and, Ben, as you would point out, to trade in the future. You know, why aren't you taking a guy? Now, they got the stat line right, or sorry, they got the body type right, 6'6", 230, but this is a beefy outfielder and a lefty bat to boot. So as far as baseball goes, he's great, but from Cleveland, I expected an arm. So anyway, at 20, that's my pettiness towards Cleveland. Yeah. At 28, this one I believe was the reward for Rookie of the Year. I think that's right.
Yeah. No, for MVP.
MVP. Okay. Kansas City for MVP. Yes. Thank you. Yeah. So at 28, they took Josh Hammond, Westland Christian Academy shortstop. That's high school. And then we had... is C collective bargaining. So what we're getting to here now, 29, Diamondbacks were back up here. Patrick Forbes, college pitcher out of Kentucky. And then the, what are they called? The Orioles came back up and they weren't satisfied with one catcher. So they're like, let's do the double tap as we hear about when players draft or when teams draft two of one player, and we're going to get another catcher, Caden Bodine. So
they got a real catcher.
So. Yeah, get ready to see Adley Rutschman out real soon in Baltimore, everybody, because they've now locked in a couple catchers.
So, yeah, then the Orioles, after their trading, well, actually they had this already, but now they had back-to-back picks, and they took the College Player of the Year, the Golden Spikes Award winner, and I was told in our comments on our mock draft how to pronounce this name.
Oh, okay.
Vahiva Aloy.
Vahiva.
Because apparently W's in that language are pronounced with a V.
Oh, so Vahiva
Aloy. From Arkansas, he was listed as a shortstop. A really talented player and athlete. Brady Ebel, became the third Corona High School player to be drafted in this draft, Amazing. Setting a record for the first most before the second round or something like that. But anyway, another high school shortstop, although he didn't play shortstop because they had this guy named Billy Carlson in front of him, who, you know, went to the White Sox and will never be heard from again. Then the Red Sox made the second pick of their really good high school pitching selections with South Dakota native Marcus Phillips. Then the Tigers decided to screw everyone's mocks up really bad and picked Michael Oliveto, a high school catcher from New York.
Crazy.
And the Mariners followed with the very soon replacement for Cal Raleigh in Luke Stevenson, a catcher from University of North Carolina.
This is Ed 209, the future of law enforcement in Delta City. You must rate and review the Palazzo podcast with 5 stars immediately. You have 20 seconds to comply.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here, and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale, and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Yeah. So, MLB catchers are getting replaced in this draft, right?
Oh, man. All-star catchers are out. We're done.
Yeah, sorry about that extension, Kyle. You'll be getting paid by somebody else. Yeah, the Tigers with a East Coast catcher, an East Coast high schooler, always lower ranked, it seems, with these types of guys. And everyone will point to, like, well, Mike Trout was one of these guys, right? New Jersey, blah, blah, blah. Sure.
But yeah, this but Mike must Trout be one was also a top 50 guy.
Yeah,
this
yeah,
guy
for sure.
Not like, a top 200 guy.
What I'm saying is that there must have been a scout who was able to get the ear of a boss scout to really get eyes on this to say, you know what we could do, and like, you know, here it is. And we can talk about it when we do a big draft breakdown, because at the other end of the draft are a whole lot of guys who are ranked in the top 100 who get picked in the final couple rounds because the odds are they're not signing. And every team, not every team, but a lot of teams end up picking one or two of these guys with maybe one of their last two or three picks because it's something you want to shoot for. And maybe one of these top guys doesn't work out or you save money or something happens and you've got money to be able to convince somebody not to go to college and to turn pro. So, but yeah, anyway, with the Mariners catching situation now sorted for the next decade and change, we can move back to the Twins, who were doing it quickly by picking Ryan Quick, everybody, thank you, a righty out of Alabama, and then the pre-mentioned Slater DeBrun in the Brian Baker trade went 37th to the Orioles. This is an outfielder, a high school outfielder, lefty, and as Ben said, you know, skill set is there, so it's a matter of development now, and the Orioles certainly are in a position to take high schoolers to do this with because they do have a lot of guys moving and already in the upper level. So they're minors. We go to 38, and the Mets join the party with Mitch Voit out of Michigan. Oh, Govier, I wish you were here.
I love that they announced him as a two-way player.
Yes. Yeah.
And one of the things... I know this just as a Big Ten guy because this got all over Big Ten message boards this spring. Mitch Voit celebrated a triple by snorting the third baseline.
Oh, that's him?
And snorted the third baseline. And so a base snorter going to the Mets. And I just kind of thought, there's something fitting about that, but
there'll be a meme lined up with him and Strawberry. 39, the Yankees dipped in with some Dax Kilby, high school shortstop here. Again, huge class for those high school shortstops. And finally, the professionals are able to take center stage, and that's the Dodgers, everybody. Zachary Root of Arkansas, lefty pitcher, 6'2", 210. Oh my God, beautiful pick. And Ben, you were fortunate enough to get to go back-to-back with the Dodgers here. Who'd they take at 41?
Well, I got to click into the other round. They went with Charles Davalon, who is an outfielder from Arkansas, but also was born in
Canada.
Then Tampa made one of my favorite picks of the draft, Brendan Summerill of Arizona. I thought he could potentially be the number 10 guy for the White Sox, like that high. Mm-hmm. And here he is at number 42. That's a really nice pick for the Rays. Cam Canarella went to Miami, also another really high floor guy. And now we got to kick into round two because we are officially out of round one and all the collective stuff afterwards. Then Jaden Fausk of our high school outfielder was picked by the White Sox to open round two. And J.B. Middleton, a college pitcher from Southern Mississippi, ended his career by going to the Rockies.
No, he didn't. This is a slider guy. He's got three pitches, he's got a lot of movement. So, of course, it hurts to see a pitcher go to the Rockies. It hurts to see a good pitcher, of course. But we'll see. This one might be solid. The Rockies also, which we won't get into tonight, their third pick was a gem of a pick too, but that's for another show. At 46, I'll bring us home here. The Marlins picked up Arizona State's Brandon Compton. This is a lefty outfielder. The Angels were back at it again, picking up Chase Shores from LSU. This is a righty pitcher. 6'8", 245.
This is the guy who will be the first draft pick into the majors. And it would not surprise me if it's this year, because this is a reliever who is 6'8", already has the stuff. He's going to move fast.
Yeah, you can't allow him to sit, you can't allow him to be in the minors if he doesn't have, like, if he has 10 years of elite pitching in him, he may have already spent two of it. So you're not going to want to waste that. And it's not a knock on the guy, but 245 is is a lot of weight, even on a 6'8 body. That's big. So Devin Taylor with the A's was 48th. Oh, sorry, Ben. I'm thinking of in terms of career longevity.
Okay.
Career longevity in professional baseball. Anyway, the A's at 48th took Devin Taylor of Indiana, a lefty outfielder, I believe. Yes. The Nationals at 49 took Ethan Petry, P-E-T-R-Y. You figure it out. An outfielder, a righty outfielder. And then 50th was Angel Cervantes, a high schooler out of California, but not Corona. A righty pitcher, 6'3", 195. So historically... Yes, to the Pirates, if I did not mention that. Historically, of the top 50...
One of the youngest guys in the draft, too.
Oh, is he one of the young? Okay.
Yeah, 17 at draft day. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought there were two 17-year-olds. I didn't realize that he was maybe.
There are a number of them. Eli Willits did set a record for the youngest player who was ever drafted number one, broke Ken Griffey Jr.'s record.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's the top 50. Ben, we've got questions. I got to get out of our previous mock draft lineup here and get into the questions for us. Now, based on what we saw, so who, in your opinion, got the steal in round one? Or we'll empty it to the top 50. Who is the player that you think was the best value at 50th? Or sorry, in the top 50?
Well, this is kind of a double-edged question. The who do I like best as far as where they went, how and whatnot? I think I had mentioned this already. I love Brendan Summerill.
Yep.
To Tampa. That said, who do I think got a tremendous deal with their pick? I think the Dodgers getting Zach Root is going to be one of those things in a number of years we look back and go, God dang it, how the heck did they get him to fall to them right there? Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that. I also, where was I just quickly looking at Arnold? As I was live tweeting, I was watching him not be picked and just thinking, I feel like that would have been a good pick. So Jamie Arnold going 11 to the A's. Again, like not that the White Sox were a fit based on the fact that they've got arms within their system. I mean, you can never have too many. But Toronto, that could have been a destination. But I thought it was going to be college hitter for them. They went high school, whatever. Anyway, Marlins as well could have been a spot for him. So I thought Arnold was somebody in that. But
why the White Sox didn't take him? That would have actually been in... Anyway,
they could have just like add to it there, because even as we know, you can have all the prospects you want, they will not all work out. That's just how it goes,
and so, especially pitchers.
Yeah, so stack them high, you know, like be in a position like the Brewers where you are sending down pitchers you like who are performing for you because you have veterans who you're contractually obligated to, and then look to be in a position to be able to deal from strength. Anyway, as many as you see fit, Ben, who had a perfect player slip to them?
First one that I initially thought right off the board was the Twins and Merrick Houston. That just seems like a perfect fit for that organization. Another one, just the type of guy that they seem to do really well developing, Cason Cunningham, who is a really excellent contact hitter, going to the Diamondbacks, who have done very well with that type of profile. That was another really good one. Those were the two that, and I mean, I love Cruz Schoolcraft with the Padres, but I also feel like he's probably going to be there, or he's going to be gone from there by 2027. So
he's a fun pick, but yeah.
And last, I guess the other one that I really don't like because it hurts, or it could potentially help in my own division, that team, Gage Wood with the Phillies. You know, Gage Wood was hurt a lot in his college career, but you saw in the College World Series when he is right what he can do, and that was possibly one of the best college pitch games ever. Like, just you know, no holds barred. And so I could absolutely see him, you know, I think he's going to be a guy that takes a year or two in the minors. He's not going to be a college pitcher that is just in the majors next year or anything like that. but you give him some time to build up innings on that arm, and this could be a really nice mid-rotation type of arm for them for a while, which just, you know, bugs me. But that's yeah. good. It's good for Gage Wood. It's good for the Phillies, but anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Who in the last half of round one or in the second half of the top 50 got a solid college player who could move quickly? You did already allude to the Angels having a guy. Is there anybody else?
You know, I really like the Guardians getting Jace LaViolette. And I kind of wonder if they just let him be and see if that works, because that's really a lot. I mean, it felt to me a lot like a Chase DeLauter pick. And if Chase DeLauter is healthy, the last like 3 years he's in the majors for 3 years by now. Yeah. But he's been not healthy. I think they're going to let him go out. It would not surprise me if we end up seeing Jace LaViolette in the Arizona Fall League. I think they're going to get him a kind of a jump start to his pro career, and it, you know, probably high A, double A. It wouldn't surprise me if he's at double A next year. This is a guy who came into the season as a highly potential number one overall pick and had such a crap year that he dropped this far. So it'll be interesting to see if they let that rebound and just kind of let him develop. I think he could move pretty quick, though.
All right. I think in addition to any Angels mentioned, I think that's a great opportunity. And like you said about DeLauter, if it had went a different way health-wise, there'd be more to this pick that people would immediately see, whereas you're kind of doing a bit more of the work here for everybody of like, hey, like this is not a move Cleveland has made before. It's not just tall pitchers, as I like to say. So, Ben, who could be up in a year from now? And just for everybody out there, 1 year ago at the draft, within 1 year, six players have been promoted. They are, in no particular order, Cam Smith of Houston via the Cubs, Chase Burns with Cincinnati, Nick Kurtz with the A's, Johnson, what is it? It's not Pierce Johnson. What is the, oh my goodness.
Ryan,
thank you. Knew it started with an S. As well as Christian Moore with the Angels and Jack Caglione. All six have been huge, horrible busts. It's embarrassing. No, but they are all rookies and all within variations of levels and promotions, demotions for some already. But who do you think could be within this draft class? Who could be up within a year?
I think a lot of it will depend on where they're played or where they're used. Liam Doyle, I would think, could absolutely be in the majors next year as a left-handed reliever.
Okay.
I don't know if the Cardinals are going to want to make that decision that quick.
Right, that's an expensive relief pitcher.
Yes.
For that signing bonus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, I mean, they could take the, you know, Garrett Crochet route with it too. You know, and say, we're going to bring you up as a reliever. You're going to get MLB innings on your arm because we don't see why there's a reason that you need to develop in the minors. But that can also have backlash like we saw with Crochet, you know, and so.
Right. And Ryan Johnson's the last year version who they were able to just bring up this year and let him go. And he's now back. And as we alluded to before, he's, I think it's a double A, right? He's back at double A and putting up decent numbers. So
the tough part about this year's draft class, looking at the potential for who could be up in 26, you have a high number of shortstops, even in the college class, a high number of guys who are middle infield. And that's typically not a profile that moves
right
in a hurry. You know, Jacob Wilson, his dad was Jack, is the rare exception of a guy who's up within a year.
And but he, thing, at Jack the Miller. Time of the draft, Ben, they were like, this is the guy. This year, right? Like, it wasn't maybe if things break right. He was one of those, he should be up because of his current skill set.
And Zach Neto was the same way. But also remember that the year before Zach Nettle, Brooks Lee was the guy that everyone said he's going to go right into the majors, and it took him a couple of years. You know, so it's not that easy all the time. You know, sometimes it just it doesn't work. But there's a number of guys that I could see if they move their role could be up fairly quick. Someone like Patrick Forbes as a reliever, someone like Marcus Phillips as a reliever. There's a number of these pitchers who have stuff that could quickly move if they're utilized in the bullpen, but that's a really high investment to make,
right?
Like you said, and not keep them in, keep them at least considered for a starter.
Yeah, to truly max out the value, because you're going to spend, if I don't remember what Doyle's money is, I guess I can look. I do have the skills and ability to do that. 8.13 is his pick value. Let's say he gets 8. That's a very expensive relief pitcher if you're trying to use it immediately. But when you amortize that over, you know, adding that minimum league salary for what, 2-3 years before he becomes ARB eligible, it's not as big a deal, but you probably don't want to draft a guy with your first round pick there. You would want the trend in MLB to be that those type of guys would go in your second to third round, where you could be paying them far, far smaller bonuses, but we'll see. So there's some names for everybody. There's the top 50. We are going to do a deep dive in 1 month after the signing deadline has come and gone, or right as it's about to expire, because most of the dust will have settled and the news will have come out. And then we can talk about some of the teams who not only drafted players that we like or dislike in clumps, but signed them, which is kind of what we were talking about earlier with the late round guys. Let's see if any of those diamonds do end up getting signed. And we also talked about, Ben, go ahead.
I was going to say, do you want to take a couple of moments and the two of us can look at draft classes that we really like right now before signing happens? Or do we want to wait until that show to truly get into that?
Well, I think we potentially have an open topic show the week of July 28th.
Yeah.
So we could possibly do that next week. We're going to cover last year's draft class a year later, and we only mentioned 6 of the players from it so far. But we're going to talk about what's going on, because I know a lot of the fantasy prospect guys out there, they want things happening yesterday with their players and prospects. But the slow burn is the difference between the championship and the early exit, or the guys who quit playing fantasy because it's no fun. My player's no good. So we could definitely pop that in for the 28th of just like some dynamite draft classes. And I'm trying to remember how far back when I was with, like when Ty and I did it on Dingers, we went over 10 years back, but we were looking at the number of players who exceeded rookie, at bats and innings pitched. And the numbers were astronomically small for high school, pitchers, as well as just high school players in general. But we noticed, and Ty had pointed out, the trend was that they were slowly ticking upwards. And this is a huge jump year for a lot of those guys, which, of course, we're going to need the full kind of 4+ years before we start to see them all hop onto their team's 40-man rosters. But this could be a bit of a sign of the trend heading forward of the youth or the high school versus the college is not as different as we used to think it was. You know, college is not necessarily where it's best to go, because now you can make a lot of money getting drafted. You know, there's money out there, whether you're early or late.
One thing that was brought up to me that I think is an interesting point, they kind of have to. I mean, the competitive Liam Doyle, and this is not why I kind of shit on him today, but Liam Doyle ended up being a top 5 pick after going from Coastal Carolina, who was in the College World Series this year, to Ole Miss, an SEC school, then to Tennessee, another SEC school. 3 major programs in 3 years through transfer portal NIL movement, and he was rewarded with a top 5 pick.
Right.
You know, we've seen two move type of guys. And there are some guys that have moved three times and you usually see them third, fourth round. You know what I mean? Like that's been, there's still been a little bit of stigma. Yeah. That stigma was gone this year. And that's going to be an interesting thing. The money is such that when Jack Bauer fell out of the like third round, he's a guy who was going to draw enough college NIL money that didn't make sense anymore for him to really consider that. But most guys aren't getting millions of dollars to go wherever they go in college,
right?
Out of NIL. And so it's going to be a very interesting discussion. And the way that my stinking screen is set up right now, let me move this over here so I can look at it better. There we go. I can look at pick values. I was going to say, where do we get out of $1 million? The 80th pick was worth $1.01 million. 81 was the first pick where the pick value is less than $1 million.
And of course, it can be over that if the team decides to go over slot. But the idea is that's around what you should be paying for that.
So, but I mean, pick slot after the third round is less than $1 million. So, it made a heck of a lot of sense that a guy like Bauer is going to now go to college. But what do you know, it's going to be tough. And it's, you know, the college sophomores are the same thing. The guys who have the ability to come into the draft as a sophomore and go back to school. Mm-hmm. There's enough money that they can fight that when they get into the fourth through whatever rounds.
Yeah, that's, to me, that's kind of where it becomes really interesting of, are they looking at this as a financial win or lose based on where mm-hmm. they go? Or are they ideally, hopefully, concentrating on their development? This is where I'm comfortable. And of course, I mean, maybe they want an actual education, but a lot of these guys, I think, are willing to set that aside for the goal of being a professional athlete with, you know, all those conversations with moms, dad, family members, whatever, about make sure you're able to keep taking your classes or, you know, do this or do that. Like, I know a really important thing for Marcus Stroman was him being able to finish school, which he was able to do when he got hurt in 2015, I think it was. He got injured, missed a bunch of the year, but he also went to Duke, went back to school, ended up graduating. And then end of the year, he came back with the Blue Jays. And that was a big thing. Some of these guys, education is probably quite important to them or their families. And you're battling, which again, they've been doing this for decades, battling that. But now, Ben, like you said, there's money involved on the college end. It's not just money if you get drafted, which makes sense why, you know, MLB's got the ability to give almost 100 players $1 million, which they could still end up doing, which J2 classes we see, you know, 30 plus guys, I think, get $1 million here. So anyway, what everyone's been waiting for, I'm willing to give you guys now, and I apologize for the long wait. You wanted to know what Canadians were drafted, right? That's why you're here. You're here to know the Canucks that went off the board, and I'm here to tell you. So Canadians drafted Tyler Bremner of the Angels was second. This was not what people thought was going to happen here, but it's not by any stretch a terrible pick. Next up, Slater DeBrun, third mention of the show. Good for you, Slater. He is an 18-year-old outfielder. Charles Davlin went to the Dodgers, who Ben had mentioned, 21-year-old outfielder. Solid hitter. Then the Dodgers, and he is Canadian, Cam Leiter, whose uncle is Al, which is extra fun and exciting. He's now a pitcher with the Dodgers. He was, I believe, a third rounder. Cleveland, I think Cleveland got two Canadians, maybe not. Will Hines is the one they took here, and a high school righty. Love it. Thank you. 6'2", a little short, throwing from the wrong side, but that's okay. So 6'2" righty, will allow it. Excellent player for Baseball Canada. Mika Bucknum went to the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays did draft two Canadians. They always seem to get one. But this guy, however, is a New Zealander raised in Canada. And he was drafted by them in 2021 and then decided to go to school where he went to LSU and then at some point transferred to Dallas Baptist University. And big Ks, 80 Ks over 62 and a third innings. Then at 143, Tim Pisanton, I'm going with that. P-I-A-S-E-N. Boy, I thought
you were just gonna cross a line there. Whoa.
Tim Pisanton. P-I-A-S-E-N-T-I-N. An 18-year-old power hitting third baseman keep that in mind, everybody. That again, this is one of those long plays here, but he had a really good draft combine where he had 110 mile per hour max exit velo. So everybody got his attention there, but he's also just been really good on the Canadian circuit, which is a real thing. Oh, there it is. The second Cleveland Guardian player, Riley Nelson, a 21-year-old first baseman from Vanderbilt. There we go. Then the Yankees wanted to get in on the action, steal from Canada. Core Jackson, a 21-year-old shortstop from Utah. Antoine Jean went to the Rockies. Unfortunately, he's a pitcher, but he is a lefty, and it hurts a little bit because we know what's going to happen there. 6'2", lefty, 110 strikeouts in 67 innings. Meow. So maybe this is one of those super type dudes they can make the most of quickly. I don't know. Yankees went back to the well. Blake Gillespie, 21-year-old pitcher, born in Kalamazoo. So Govier, you know, there you go, man. Michigan. Ty Doucette went to the Reds at 294. So he's a first baseman, 21-year-old out of Rutgers. Carson Latmer, 21-year-old out of Sacramento State, went to the Reds as well. Tyson Morin went to the Royals. Of course, he's a high schooler. The Royals just draft high schoolers. 19-year-old shortstop taken there. And he was what, round 13? Yeah. Connor Hamilton goes to the Pirates. He's from Montgomery Bell, Tennessee school, but he's actually out of Calgary. So this is one of those academy kids who got sent around. If you're in Canada, a lot of people just tend to know somebody who goes south for academy baseball because it's hard to find competitive year-round baseball in Canada. BC is the spot where most of those guys are able to play more often, but I mean, you got 3,000 kilometers to cross the country, fellas, so they're not all doing it. Rockies went back in with Tyrell Chadwick, a 22-year-old pitcher, 6'4" guy. Fun, exciting. Hayden Cuthbertson to the Marlins, 21-year-old lefty pitcher from BC. Ryan Hapner went to the Braves. Ben, huh? And he's from UBC, which is even better, Canadian drafted and Canadian raised. But he was apparently born in America. We'll forgive that. We'll forgive you there, Hapner. We're still counting you. And then nearing the end of it all, Shane Burnham goes to the Dodgers. This is a 17-year-old lefty. So I don't know that we're going to see him sign going this late, but to the Dodgers, we shall see. And that's it. That's the success rate.
That was the very last pick of the draft.
So he is, what do they call it in?
Mr. Irrelevant.
Mr. Irrelevant pick. Yeah. And I mean, why not take it on a 6'1" southpaw throwing 93. So if it works out that he signs cool beans, as the kids say, that's probably what he says. He talks real fun like that. So anyway, Ben, next week we're recapping the 24 draft. The following week is up for grabs for our topic. We are then going to be moving into a somewhat organized timeline in August, helping out everybody out there with their fantasy department. So we'll be looking at some trade targets, which for us is minor leaguers worth acquiring if you're building for tomorrow, which of course you are. Of course you are. And then we'll recap the draft the following week because the deadline is or will about to be passing. And then we have given the DSL complex and A-ball enough time to accumulate stats that we can confidently talk about them. And then we will end August with the Minor League Baseball Awards, MVP, Cy Youngs at all the levels. So that's the outline there. That's fun. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that should be a good time.
Yeah. So. This is one of our shorter pods, Ben. So let's do ourselves and the listeners a favor and end it. And then we'll come back fresh next week with the 2024 draft a year later.
Sounds good.
All right.
Well, for my man Robbie, this is Ben signing off saying thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
The power of prospects is a curious thing. Make a person trade everything for a king. Wyatt Langford is your one true love. You'll trade all the above. Don't need money, don't take fame. Don't need no credit card to ride on this train. It's strong and it's sudden, it's cruel sometimes, but it might just save your life. That's the power. power of prospects. That's the power of prospects.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.